Jason Capper here, asking you to help us save the C-53 Beat City Baby from the scrapper's torch. Folks, every dollar goes directly towards the restoration so that we can fly her again. Donate now at www.vintagewingsinc.com. That's vintagewingsinc.com. Our time is limited, and the need is now. So again, please go to www.vintagewingsinc.com. And help us save our C-53 Beat City Baby.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. We're glad you're listening. You're listening to the live broadcast right now. Also, you can pick up this broadcast later on our podcast, which should be up in the next day or so. Glad you're listening with us tonight. We haven't been on since, I think, about February, so it's time to do another show. And whether you're here in the U.S. or in Europe or the Middle East or Far East, Down Under, or even freaking Antarctica, we're glad you joined us tonight. Our guest tonight is a friend of mine and a friend of RC Scale Builder, Adam Martin from Warbird Pilots. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you doing this evening?
Doing good, man. I'm glad you're able to come on because I think it's important for people to, especially members of our site, to know about, you know, get to know the vendors on the site. And, you know, it's all about communication, and it's really important to get the word out about your products and everything. But the best way, I think, to get these interviews started is, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe how you ended up starting the company?
Sure. Well, thank you for the introduction. My name is Adam Martin. I'm the owner-operator of WarbirdPilots.com, where we manufacture and sell a full line of highly detailed pilot figures for our model aircraft. A little about myself, I started flying about 25 years ago. Was taught by my grandfather, Will Feldmeyer, who, matter of fact, worked for McDonnell Douglas right in St. Louis, Missouri. And I think at that time, that was late 80s, early 90s, they actually, McDonnell Douglas actually sponsored one of the flying sites. I know some of the listeners may actually remember that at the time. After that, after high school, went ahead and spent about 8 years in the Army, got deployed after 9/11, served my country well, and, ended up getting out in 2004. And at that time is when I really started to pick up the hobby. Before that, it was, you know, sport planes here and there, whenever I had a chance to fly. And, once I got out of the Army, I turned around and said, you know what, it's time to find a really nice flying site. I lived in Connecticut, where I still reside today, found a beautiful flying site. As a matter of fact, it's a Swamp Flyers, if anybody's listening, in North Haven, Connecticut. And beautiful field, large field. And one of the great things about it was when I joined, one of the things I love about this hobby, very similar to the Army, is the camaraderie. I tell you, when I got to the field, there were probably 15 guys there that I just drove up and introduced themselves to me. And it just blossomed from there. Like I said, I originally started flying a lot of the sport planes, but once I got into that club, I had met a great group of guys that were very large, very big into warbirds.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, one instance that happened that really got me hooked was these two guys, great friends of mine, Chris Patricione and Mark Castiglione, fly these old Bud Nosen Mustangs, big 102-inch birds. And I'll tell you, man, there was one day they were out there in formation flying, and they were called freight training the flight line. And just full power, low passes right by with these massive warbirds. And I'll be honest, from that point, it was nothing but warbirds for me.
Yeah.
Nothing but warbirds. And, you know, so, of course, with me being novice, it was 40, then to 60, 90, size birds, and then finally made it up to the giant scale. Probably like everybody else does, a top flight giant scale Mustang. Beautiful plane, flies like a trainer when it's in the air. It's funny because at that point was when I was actually at a level of aircraft where the pilot figure became a little more important to me.
Yeah.
With the full cockpit, I was then able to turn around and say, okay, what options do I have? What can I do for this? From there, it turned into, what are the couple options? You got painted bus, you got unpainted bus. I personally paint like a 3-year-old, so painting a bus was never an option for me. The actual painted bus were great, but some of them were heavier. At the same time, they didn't give you the texture, the clothing, the actual look of a figure with real clothing. And so then I started to do a little bit of research and found at the time they had Dragon model figures and G.I. Joes. And those figures actually had, it was a full figure, a little heavy, but gave you that individual clothing, individual equipment, gave you the ability to adjust things and move things around, which was really great. And so I started with those. And as a matter of fact, I working for a buddy of mine, at a hobby shop, he had a couple of Dragon model figures. He goes, hey, I need you to go ahead and sell these. I just kind of put these together, go ahead and sell them. And it was a couple of pilot figures. And I'll be honest, they sold within an hour when I put them online. And
wow.
It started making me think. So at that moment is probably the time that I started to get that entrepreneurial bug and said, you know what? Let me see what I can do here. There was nothing real current on the market. Everything was kind of old. Old Dragon model figures, old BBI, G.I. Joe. So just started what I decided to do. I picked up some of those Dragon model plastic bodies and started to pick up clothing and equipment and all different pieces from online and would put them together and throw them up online, and boom, they would sell incredibly fast. So I turned around and I started buying up everything. I went on to eBay and wherever I could find helmets and masks and figures. And nothing was consistent as far as the figures are concerned. All had different heads, different equipment, but it was the fact that I was able to put these figures together and customers and people were loving them because you couldn't find them anymore at the time. They really didn't manufacture them anymore. So instead of paying $300 for a figure in the box, I was able to get them for, put them together and sell them for $75-$80, much more reasonable. It was kind of done as a, I hate to say, kind of as a hobby initially with the pilot figures. Still had a full-time job, would do that on the side, and then also find time to fly as well. But it finally got to a point to where these figures and what I was doing was in demand. And I started to turn around and say, all right, I need a consistent product now. I need to take that next step and design, manufacture, produce a product that would be of a very high quality material, at the same time, incredibly scale. And at that moment was when I started to research manufacturing and moved in that direction.
Gotcha.
And things have absolutely blossomed since then to a point that right now we're at literally over 50 individual figures available through our site and through our company at warbirdpilots.com.
Wow.
So it was really blown up in the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Has just absolutely taken off.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I tell you what, folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can do it a couple of ways. You can phone in at 478-787-4768. You can Skype us at just Warbird Radio, all one word, if you're outside the country. Or you can join us in the Warbird Radio live chat by clicking on the live chat link under the Listen Live link on Warbird Radio. Let's talk a little bit about, you said you have 50 some odd pilots now. Well, let's talk about the various sizes and slash scales that you have, and what type of pilots you have. Generally speaking, I mean,
absolutely. So, what we carry right now is a 10-inch, a 12-inch, 15-inch, and very soon, which has been in quite the demand, a 22-inch tall figure. Now, the scales that they actually cover would be your 10-inch tall figure would cover your 1/8 and 1/7 scale, which would be your 60 and 90 size birds. If we're talking about World War II aircraft,
right.
Mustangs, your monowing aircraft from World War II is usually the best description for a 60 and 90 size bird. Then we step up to your 12-inch, which is my most popular, which will fit your 1/6 up to 1/5 scale. Those are usually once you hit about an 80-inch wingspan bird, up to about a 90 to 92-inch bird, at least from a World War II aircraft. The next step up gets into your 15-inch tall figure, which is covers your 1 and 4.5 up to your quarter scale aircraft. And then soon it'll be the 22-inch figure, which is your 1 and 3.5 up to third. Now, one of the figures that we actually carry in all of those sizes, like I said, there's 50-plus, but the main figures that we cover would, which is actually the highest seller, would be your U.S. Army Air Force, which would be your World War II, U.S. Army Air Force, brown leather jacket, brown helmet, oxygen mask, all the goodies involved. At the same time, we go U.S. Navy, which is all tan uniform. I've got your Tuskegee pilot figures as well, which I actually have in my top flight, which I did in the Tuskegee theme. British RAF for World War II. These are all World War II. Russian for World War II. Your German Luftwaffe. Japanese. Then we take a step, you know, that'll cover your World War II. Then we take a step up to your Korean era, which had a slightly different helmet. They got into the hard helmets. A little bit different uniform, a little bit different setup with those figures. That'll be your F-86s. At the same time, your Sky Raiders, things of that nature, which are flying during that era. Next, we then get into your modern jet, which have become very, very popular. Your modern jet pilots in all the sizes, the 10, 12, and 15-inch size figures have been very, very popular lately. And what I've actually done more recently is we expanded the modern jet to now include five other colors. So what we do is we actually paint the helmets the color of the uniform. What that does is that covers all of your sport jets out there. One thing I notice a lot at some of the jet events I'd go to is they would have these beautiful sport jets in all different colors, and then they'd have a military-style pilot inside. So I turned around and said, you know what? Let's make our red, blue, yellow, green, black uniforms, paint those helmets to match, and now you've got a sport jet pilot to fit that era as well.
Gotcha.
Finally, we get into your helicopter, but then your civilian, which are very, very popular with a nice headset on the figure, standard brown leather jacket, pants. And at the same time, we do our World War I, which will be kind of your standard. When you think of a World War I pilot, German, black trench coat, black helmet.
Right.
Your British, French, American, light brown trench coat, helmet. Try to keep it as simple as possible. But have been done extremely well with all the figures. It's funny, some of the figures will actually end up being a customer will request something, such as the Russian, World War II Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Called up one day, said, hey, what do you have for World War II Russian? I said, I have no idea. Let me look it up on Google. So Googled the pictures and sent these full-scale pictures over to my seamstress, and it was amazing what we were able to get done. Same as all the rest of the equipment. It was full-scale pictures. Let's go ahead and shrink it down and work it from there. One of the other things that I've kind of, you know, that kind of covers your massive list of figures that we carry.
Right.
Well, one of the things I'm really proud of and that we've done here is when I first started with the plastic figures, which were a little bit heavier. At the same time, they only had specific areas where the figure could move, such as at his waist. So when you bent him at the waist, his legs bent, he was X amount of inches high from the seat to the top of the head. You couldn't adjust it unless you actually took out a hacksaw and started hacking away. So one of the things that I noticed with many manufacturers of the actual aircraft out there is when they design an airplane, most important aspect of those airplanes are your linkages, your servos, engine mounting, ensuring that that aircraft can be balanced correctly and fly incredibly well. Then they'll turn around and probably one of the last things they'll think about, and this isn't everyone, but is cockpit. Where do we have a cockpit? So what happens is a lot of your cockpits on many, many aircraft out there is a little bit shallow.
Right.
And what I was running into is with the plastic figures, well, they were a little bit tall. Because you're working with our RC airplanes, you usually got servos under your cockpit. So it being shallow didn't allow that figure to fit in there properly. So that I turned around and said, all right, I've got to figure out a way to allow the customer to not have to modify his cockpit. As many of us are, same as myself, I'm an assembler. I'm not so much a builder. I'm an assembler. When I get that airplane, I'll tear apart, retract plates, adjust things there. But I love to fly. I want to put it together, and I want to tear up the skies with it. So tearing out cockpits and having to adjust cockpits just to fit a figure is a lot of work for the average pilot and the average RC enthusiast. So what I did was I said, you know what? What can I do to alleviate that issue of the pilot sitting too high? And at the same time, with it being a plastic body, being a little bit heavy, turned around and said, you know what? We're going to design a cotton-filled body with a wire frame.
Yeah.
Simple. Add the gloves. Add the head, exact same size, but the advantage is it's incredibly light, much, much lighter than your old plastic figures. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the most important aspect is now I can adjust the seated height of the pilot figure to fit in any cockpit that I need to based on where I bend him at the waist.
Gotcha.
So if I've got a cockpit that's too shallow, which many times they are, you put the pilot in, you bend him at the regular right at his waist, put him in there, oh, he's sitting a little high. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to adjust that cockpit. Go ahead and take the figure out, bend him higher up his waist. He's got all the equipment. He's got his Mae West vest on. He's got his jacket. You'll never know that figure is bent higher up his waist.
Yeah.
And you can get him to sit almost an inch lower. He'll fit right in. You've got him looking right out the gun sight. Golden. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to make any adjustments on your airplane, especially the last thing you want to have to do is move servos. You don't want to do any of that. Go ahead and adjust your pilot, drop them right in, and you are all set and ready to go. And it's been, people have absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
It's allowed me to really expand the amount of aircraft that the pilot figures that we produce can fit now. There really isn't one that we can't. I've even gotten somebody to put them into our 10-inch figures. We've even gotten them into little 40-size airplanes.
Well, I've got one of one for quarter scale, the Russian one that's that way. And it was really easy to fit into the cockpit. You're absolutely right. And it's not heavy at all. So that was really awesome. So
one thing we pride ourselves on is also you'll get a complete figure.
Yeah.
There's no painting, no assembly, nothing involved. You literally take him out of the package, drop him right in. It's something that I really enjoy, especially as being a professional assembler as myself, less work, get that airplane in the air faster, and have a figure that has incredibly accurate clothing and equipment,
yeah,
a beautifully painted face and head on the figure. At the same time, everything is loose, so you can take the mask on and off. You can adjust his goggles up or down. You can take clothing off. You can put clothing on. Really gives you that ability to totally customize this figure that you purchased and really make it work the absolute best for your aircraft. One thing I tell my customers is that the most important thing that I have and that this business does is to ensure that we get you the right pilot in the right size to fit your aircraft the best.
Yeah.
And if we don't, let me know. We'll make adjustments. We'll get you the next size, and we'll get you that right pilot.
There you go. There you go. Well, folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can get in touch with us several ways. Call us at 478-787-4768. No reason to be shy. We're just sitting around talking airplanes tonight. Or you can Skype us at Warbird Radio. That's all one word. Or just hop into the live chat under the Listen Live button. There's a link right there, and you can ask your question there. Matter of fact, I just got one in, Adam. Someone wants to know, I'm sure you've heard this one before, do you have any third-scale World War One pilots?
I have been getting and working on this project for about 2 years now. There's always something that comes up, such as needing to do a whole other production run to keep up with sales and things that end up siphoning time and money from getting that project. But I'll tell you, I have the figure. The prototype is complete. Uh-huh. I just got the heads. The heads are complete. They're going to be going into production very soon. I took it to, as a matter of fact, was that Warbirds over Delaware, and did some test fitting to make sure it was the right size. And what we designed, and one of the things that I always work on is trying to make a figure that will fit multiple scales. Uh-huh. Obviously, it's the same cotton-filled wireframe body. Gives you the ability to bend him at the waist wherever you want him. Incredibly light, gives you the ability to sit them where you need them, did our test fitting, and what we've got is a 22-inch tall figure, which comes in at about a 1 in 3.5, so you can get majority of your third-scale aircraft, obviously with your cockpits being slightly smaller on a lot of the aircraft, will be a beautiful fit in there, and he's going to be produced in a World War I German, which will be a very similar but much more scale helmet, so you'll get a contrasted color on the helmet to the jackets. Now, before it was a black on black and a light brown on light brown. So now we decided to do was a standard brown leather helmet, beautiful stitching on it, much more detailed in the helmet compared to the current quarter scale figures. And at the same time, we did our standard black trench coat for your German, and we used the same standard light brown for your British, American, French figure at the same time. You know, have goggles on it, and then we did one step further and said, I know that obviously World War One is very popular for the third. We also did a third scale or 1 in 3.5 to third scale civilian as well.
Nice.
And what that's going to include is, boy, Peter Goldsmith is gonna hate me for this because I cannot remember the name of the hat that the glider pilots wear. I can't remember, but I gotta send him a picture. He showed me a picture. He goes, "This is the hat that we need for our glider pilots in that third scale." I was like, "Okay, perfect." I just got one in, and it is exact, absolutely exact. So we'll have them in your standard civilian with a headset, and they're gonna be in glider pilots as well. And what we do is we essentially took the head that I have for all the figures, which has been made in the 12, the 10, and the 15-inch tall figure, and we blew that head up. So you're going to get a beautiful-looking head, great-looking face. It's going to be beautifully painted, and that'll go right on the figure. And that'll be hopefully, available in the next 2, maybe 3 months, depending on how long production takes to get them done and get them into my hands.
Gotcha.
So, but I'm not going to wait for the boat to ship them. We're going to go ahead and get a bunch of them in as soon as possible and try to get those on the market and let people know and do my best to get the word out there that they are in, available, and ready to purchase. So hopefully a couple months from now.
Super, super. I got another two-part question for you from Matt down in Australia. He wants to know, if you know off the top of your head, what the quarter-scale pilots weigh roughly, and also can you get different heads or faces because he needs two of them for an airplane.
Okay. Well, quarter-scale guys, the 15-inch tall figures, are right at about between 7 and 8 ounces, depending on the figure and depending on what equipment it has. on the figure itself, but incredibly light. At the same time, if you need to remove some stuff, like I said, everything's removable. As a matter of fact, if you actually take all the clothing off and you really want to get them light, you could remove the cotton. I actually have a Velcro. We designed him with Velcro on his back to open up the body. You can remove some cotton if you really wanted to. But they're incredibly light already at the size they are for him. Now, as far as faces are concerned, based on production, I've got one head that works all the figures, same head for all the figures. But Advantage. Now, what did he act? Do you know the aircraft is that he has?
Yeah, it's going to be a Moth Miner, so it's a British or Aussie.
Okay. Well, you know, I apologize for my lack of knowledge. World War One.
World War Two. It's a 2-seat trainer, basically.
Okay. So one thing you could possibly do, being a trainer, they probably didn't wear oxygen masks, but they will come with them. So one thing that a lot of people will do is one figure will have the oxygen mask on, one figure will have it off. Being that if it was a, we'll put it this way, if it was a 12-inch tall figure, I could probably go on eBay and find some different heads from old manufacturers. But being 15-inch tall, because I had them designed and produced ourselves, nobody else really makes them in that size. We've got that one size head. So if you can get out an airbrush and maybe brush a mustache on them, one of them, and make a little adjustment here and there, which is a nice advantage of all the equipment. Then you can kind of make them look a little bit different.
There you go. And I got another question from Glenn in Australia. We've got a lot of people from Australia tonight listening.
I've got a lot of customers from Australia. Wonderful.
he wants to know if you can request different colored civilian clothes.
If you want to give me a call, we can definitely try to work something out. Depending on the size, I used to do I would dye my tan shirts. We'd dye them blue or we'd dye them red. And then majority of them would come with a standard brown leather jacket. If there's something you wanted to do that's much more custom, I've got so much clothing and equipment that we could probably almost make up anything you wanted based on the product that I have. Obviously, we'll have to sit down and we'll figure that out, and you know, feel free to give me a call or an email, and we can kind of sit down and work with all the different clothing and equipment that I have to try to maybe make a little more custom figure for you. So, yeah, can definitely do it.
Well, cool, awesome. Well, let's talk one other neat thing I wanted to cover. We're starting to run short on time here, but I wanted to definitely talk about this was you have a moving head option that is available on your pilots. Now, is that available on all the pilots or
it
specific
is. It
ones?
Absolutely is. Yeah, I sat down, and it was funny. I'll be honest. I put it off for a little bit. I had done it on the plastic figures originally, in the 12-inch. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there, and I'm like, boy, this is going to take me probably a day or so on each one of these to try to figure it, design it. But found the time, sat down, and have been able to design an incredibly strong base plate that the servo sits on, and have it in every single size, the 10, 12, 15, and we'll have it in the 22-inch. The moving head was I received a lot of – when I do the shows, I'll do the your Toledo, your Ram show, a lot of different events, AMA convention. People will come up, and they'll always ask about it. This was early on in the business, and so I sat down. I said, you know what, we're going to make this work. And I spent a little bit of time doing it. What we've got now, literally, you will have no idea that it's a moving head except for a wire coming out of his hind end. Mm. We've designed them so that the servo itself sits in his upper chest. Wire comes down right out the bottom of his pants. The head itself is connected directly to the servo. So you have a direct connection. There's no dowel. There's no wire in between. It's a direct connection to the servo, which makes it much, much stronger. Yeah. And at the same time, gives you that ability that if you need to cut him into a bust, which happens, you know, people don't like to have to cut these figures into busts, but if it happens, take out a pair of scissors, snip the figure. You know you've got plenty of room because we designed it with the servo in his upper chest. Now, I get a lot of people that will ask, you know, well, why do you need a moving head? And one thing I've noticed, it's amazing the amount of energy and detail our hobbyists put into our cockpit kits. Yeah. Unbelievable, some of the work I've seen. It's just absolutely masterful work in these cockpits. And all of a sudden, so you'll have people walk up to the airplane and look at the outside of the airplane, and they never actually take that time to look into the cockpit. Mm-hmm. One thing that will grab their attention, that moving head. Once they see that head move, all that attention goes right to that cockpit. Their eyes light up, not just with the moving head, but then they see all that extra detail you put in there.
Yeah.
A lot of what we'll do is I recommend people usually just Y harness it to the rudder or add it to a separate channel. And it is the coolest thing when you're out on the flight line and you're taxiing around and you're moving that rudder and that head's going back and forth. Unbelievable gravitational attention. They absolutely love it.
That is,
so we've had a lot of success with those, and use nice high tech servos in there. And if people, I know a lot of people now are using higher voltage systems. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send me an email or give me a call, and what we'll do is we can get you that next step up in servo to be able to handle your higher voltage, or if you want a digital, things of that nature. I don't stock those. So anybody that needs that, give me a call or send me an email, and we'll get that servo that you prefer, and we'll install that into the figure for you. And it's the same as the regular figures. They come complete, ready to plug and play.
Super.
You don't have to do anything. When you add it to the cart, you add the moving head option to your cart. Once I get that order, boom, I dress that figure right then and there, package it up, get it right out to you. So you don't have to do anything. It's just one less thing that you have to worry about, especially when you're buying your pilot, usually one of the last parts of your project.
Yeah.
You've done all this incredible work on your plane. You want that pilot to drop in and be able to go fly. So we've been able to really minimize the amount of work you have to do, which is essentially pulling the staples off the package and putting it in the airplane.
There you go. Well, that's cool, man. Well, that's a neat option to have. One other thing I wanted to cover, too, is I know you visit a lot of events. Do you have any coming up that you're going to be visiting this fall?
Oh, let me see. We've got I did Warbirds Over the Rockies last year. We'll be sending product for that event this year. So definitely look for those on for your raffles and donations, things like that. We'll have a couple pilots in that event as well, some of the top end figures that we carry. And the one thing I like about events is when we donate product to an event, it's usually if you win that product, you give me a call and I'll get you whatever pilot you want.
Super.
So there's no need to not bid on a lot of these things for pilots that may not fit your airplane. So at any event, feel free to get one and give me a call. We've got a jet event coming up, Best in the West, Jet Ride I'd like to attend this year.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of events last year. Summertime is usually, I always do my best to try to get out there and do some flying
of my own.
And usually, absolutely, we'll be back down to Florida as well for, the Big Bird event from Frank. I can't think of it.
12
what
o'clock
was it?
High. 12 o'clock high.
12 o'clock high. Yep. That's right. It used to be those two events. 12 o'clock high. Frank puts on an amazing event. Always enjoy those events. So, absolutely, if you're down in Florida, definitely come visit those events. I'm always set up there. Always have a great time. Just honestly, kicking back and watching the planes all day. I'd love to be able to just do that.
Yeah. Well, you're also at Toledo and the Ram Show too, aren't you?
Absolutely, Toledo AMA Convention in California,
yeah.
Ram Show, Warbirds Over Delaware. What is it? I try to hit as many events as I can. While still being able to keep a little bit of the sanity still a little bit of time to enjoy the hobbies. But I'll tell you, I absolutely love the events and talking to the people and getting the product out there and letting people know, hey, this is what we've got. This is what we're offering. And, any suggestions, let us know what you're looking for. But really enjoy talking to the customers and the stories. I could talk all day long with people. So don't ever be afraid. Give me a call here at the shop. I will talk to you all day long. It's no problem. I really enjoy the hobby. I really enjoy flying, and love talking up the obviously our product, but also just the enthusiasm of this great hobby.
Oh, sure, absolutely. So if folks want to look at your pilots, they can go to warbirdpilots.com. There's a link right on the show notes.
Yes.
And I put one, I think, on the show announcement on RCSB too. So, and I wanted to take a minute and thank you for sponsoring our contest this month.
Yes.
For our post and win contest. That's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Same thing applies. If whoever gets that wins the figure, give me a call. Let me know what your project you're working on, and we'll get you the pilot that'll fit your plane.
There you go. There
work
you
best for you.
Well, Adam, we're running out of time here, but I wanted to thank you for coming on the show, and I hope the folks listening got some of their questions answered and got to know you a little better. You know, it's always great to spend time with you when we get to meet up at shows. And, but as usual, you know, there's usually never enough time.
Well, hey, Mike, hey, thank you so much again for the opportunity to come on here. I've always enjoyed the opportunity to work with RC Scale Builder and, work with, promotions and getting the product out there and talking to all your different members.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, working with them on new projects and things. So thank you very much again for the opportunity.
You know, that's a great part about that is you've been a great great friend of the site, and we do appreciate it. And, you know, all the vendors like yourself that help support the site just are fabulous to deal with. The customer service is great, and Adam's a great guy and loves to talk airplanes. So if you see him, by all means, go up and talk to him and introduce yourself.
Absolutely.
But well, I guess we're gonna call it there. We've got to do a few commercials here and pay for the show. But I appreciate you coming on, and will you come back again sometime in the future?
Oh, I absolutely will.
Okay.
Any opportunity. Any chance you need anything you need,
okay,
definitely
super.
Let me know. I'll be more than happy to talk your ear off again.
Hey, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I actually learned some stuff tonight. That's cool, man.
With how quickly things are constantly coming out, new stuff is coming out, we'll probably have a good 10, 15 new things to talk about by then.
There you go. All right, man. Thanks again, and we'll be talking to you real soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
All right. See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Adam Martin from warbirdpilots.com. Super nice guy. Easy to deal with. Be sure and get in touch with him by going to warbirdpilots.com. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break here and have a few commercials, and then my good buddy Matt Jolly and I are going to come back, and we're going to talk about what's going on in RC Scale. So stick around. We'll be right back.
This is World Radio.
Jason Capper here, asking you to help us save the C-53 Beach City Baby from the Scrapper's Torch. Folks, every dollar goes directly towards the restoration so that we can fly her again. Donate now at www.vintagewingsinc.com. That's vintagewingsinc.com. Our time is limited and the need is now. So again, please go to www.vintagewingsinc.com. And help us save our C-53 Beach City Baby.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And welcome back to the show. We're glad you're listening in tonight, or today if you're down under or in the Far East. Don't forget, folks, we have the post and win contest going on RC Scale Builder. And basically, the way this works is when you post on the site, if it's a worthwhile post other than an attaboy post, like to answer a question or post your progress on a model you're working on or whatever, your name gets put into a drawing, and at the end of the month, we'll draw a name and give away a Warbird pilot's figure, so of your choice. So be sure and get on the site and start posting. Matt, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm waiting for the Mike Chilson pilot.
You know, that would be kind of scary right there.
I think you need one. I mean, I think you, what was the oh my goodness. I'm showing my age and modeling now. Was it Cap Medi that Ace had?
Oh yeah. Cap Medi. Yep.
You just need one of those. Yeah. He needs to make a scale Cap Medi for Mike.
That's scary. Or the dude with the big cigar.
It, right. You know? Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one
you got. There you go.
Oh man.
Well, cool.
Let's talk politics, because
yeah, let's talk politics.
You and I love to talk politics. This is the year. I it's too bad that with all of the U.S. politics going on. Let's talk more U.S. politics. I think this is the year of the brash man with a Northeast accent to get into politics.
You think? Well, that's
I'm
a
not,
good
I'm not talking. I'm not talking presidential, am I? Well, I am talking presidential, but of a nice little organization in Indiana.
Yeah, called the AMA.
That's right.
For those of you who haven't heard, Frank Tiano of Top Gun and 12 O'Clock High and Florida Jets fame is running this year for AMA president, but he's a write-in.
And why is he a write-in?
Well, apparently the nominating committee felt he was not worthy to be on the ballot for some reason. But what's interesting about that is two of the members of the nominating committee are on the ballot.
It's like House of Cards.
Yeah. So,
yeah, this is crazy.
Anyway, yeah, it's kind of interesting, but you know, people who know Frank is one of those people that you really like. Or you really don't.
Yeah,
like.
You really don't. Like.
And the reason for that is because Frank is a straight shooter. You know, he doesn't BS around, and he deeply, and I mean deeply, cares for the modeling community and our hobby. It's been wonderful to him. He's an innovator. You know, his events. If it weren't for his events, we would not have some of the technology we have because of these guys pushing the limits, you know? And, so he's, I think he would be a good figurehead for the organization. And this is Mike Chilson.
And he has his own pilot figure too.
He does have his own pilot figure.
Are you suggesting though, that if Frank Tiano could be written in, that if people, do you think he would zap the competition?
Well, I tell you what, it's not going to take a whole lot because the last election was the winner only had 4,000 votes.
Yeah, that was horrible. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I was trying to ignore your little pun there.
I know. Frank Tiano, Zap Blue. Sorry for those of you that don't remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
What is the AMA doing these days? I mean, I get the magazine, and I was reading through it. From 10 years ago to what they're doing now, it seems like a totally different organization.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into my personal opinions of what the AMA should be or not should not be doing, but I think they've kind of need to be refocused, you know, back into a direction that's helpful for everyone in the hobby, not just drones. So, you know, I think we need someone, you know, from the outside to come in and do that, like Frank, you know. I mean, Frank is, he gets things done. Yeah. So that's my personal endorsement for him, and I am going to be sending out an email asking folks to consider voting for him, writing him in the U.S.
I think we should have had an old-fashioned Iowa caucus on Warbird Radio for the AMA, Mike. You should host a debate for the next RC Scale Builder Show.
You just sometimes you need fresh blood to go in and clean things up a little bit. And one of the things Frank has told me personally that he wants to do is simplify a lot of the processes that you know, we go through as modelers or contest directors or whatever you need to do via the AMA.
There you go.
Which would be great, you know. So so anyway, so I guess enough about that. we'll see how that pans out. So but I wanted to bring it up and
I mean, let's carry the dog down the track if you've gone this far. When is the vote? Because this is the point of contention.
Ballots come with the September edition of Model Aviation, or they're mailed out in September if you don't get Model Aviation.
And you can't vote online. You have to actually have the ballot that they send you. Sent back.
And it only comes to adult AMA members. So if you have, you know, a family membership, there's only one vote for that household, basically. You have to have the official ballot, and all you got to do is it has a spot to write in. Just write Frank Tiano if that's your choice. But I wanted to make sure that people knew there was another choice other than what was on the ballot. And I believe Frank is running an ad in Model Airplane News, a big ad this month in Model Airplane News about it. So if you get that, check it out. And okay, well, that's all I got to say about that.
Well, Mr. Chilson just
that's right.
Throwing his.
Well, I hate to talk. Yeah. I hate to talk politics.
Well, I know. You don't want to. Yeah, you love to talk politics.
Well, I love to talk politics with you, not on the show.
I understand. You know? I understand. I'm telling you, it is the year for the man with the brash Northeast accent to be running.
Could be. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one other thing that I wanted to mention, too, was our good friend Jerry Bates. Jerry has released some new plans since the last time we had the show, and
he's doing dollhouses now. Is that true? I read something about that.
He's doing what?
He's doing dollhouses. That I read.
Yeah. I don't think so. Jerry released a KI-43 Oscar plan. I think it was about a month ago. He did that, and he just finished up a third scale F3F, Grumman F3F, which is the old biplane. F3F. And he's working on a few different things. I think he's working on a OV-1 Mohawk right now, too. So.
This has been a big year for Jerry, doing all this.
I mean, yeah, he's retired now, so this is what he does.
So now he's just sitting around cranking stuff out all the time.
Yeah, but only after he gets up at 11 a.m.
Yeah, so, crack of noon. Yeah. Right. Well, there you go. Good for Jerry.
Yeah, so.
Good for Jerry.
Yeah. He's doing good, man. I talk to Jerry about once or twice a week, and he's enjoying retirement, that's for sure.
Now, when are you going to have him design your I think you need a match. We need matching Peyton poles. That's what we need. Does Jerry have a? I mean, there are so many.
I think if I did a Peyton pole, I would just get the full size plan and shrink it down. You know.
Well, you've been talking about doing a moth at some point.
Yeah, somewhere down the line, but
when you retire,
that's after retirement.
Yeah, which is going to happen another 20 or 30 years.
Pretty much, yeah. Wow. Well, that depends on, you know, how long I have to work, you know, so.
Speaking of working, what's going on with the Nats? Is there any new news on the Nats?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Nats, too. I'm glad you brought that up. Our good friend John Boyko, and he was the CD, the new CD for the AMA Nat, Scale Nats this year. And as you know, NASA, the National Association of Scale Air Modelers, is the special interest group for scale in AMA. So they actually host the Scale Nats. And this year, they had it at a little bit different location, and everybody really enjoyed it. They had a great time. Attendance was up. and things went pretty darn smooth. And it's not to say that the people before him did a bad job, because they didn't. It's just
You've been saying that a lot tonight, Mike. I just want to point that out.
Well, okay. Well, but, you know, just someone new in there, he's doing a great job. And I think this next year is going to be even better. So I kind of feel like that the Nats are kind of the Phoenix rising over the next few years. You know, I think we're going to see a huge growth of the AMA skill Nats with these guys at the helm. And you know, all the NASA board members are involved in this, and they do a great job in getting ready for it. And I would encourage you guys in the U.S., if you're not a member of NASA, to join up and support them. They do a great job trying to promote our hobby. So be sure and check that out. But anyway, kudos to John for his great job on the Nats this year.
So has NASA taken the seat of oh my goodness, the publisher of High Flight? Come on, help me out, Mike.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, the organization, though. I mean, have they taken the seat of this?
Well, no. I mean, you know, you're thinking of that. IMAA, yeah. They were just kind of a giant scale fly-in organization. And NASA is the true scale SIG. And they also cover control line and free flight, too. But they are the scale SIG for AMA, special interest group is what I mean by that. But, you know, they do a great job. And we're hoping in the next few years that maybe they can put together another good international team to send overseas to compete, which we haven't had one of those in several years. So, but anyway, I just wanted to send kudos out to our friend John Boyko for doing a great job CDing the Nats, and I think we're going to see some great things come out of that event.
I like it when you have John and Mike Barbie both on the show. That's always fun. That's a good time, getting those two guys together. Good stuff going on. Yeah.
They're like an old married couple. Oh. You know that, right?
Okay. All right.
They are.
Good stuff.
That's really about what's going on in scale these days. Of course, here in the South, it's our second building season because it's so hot.
It's too hot. How hot was it in Alabama this week?
I think it was 90. I think the highest it got was 99 one day.
You just put the tea pitcher out and it boils itself.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Heat index about 104. Mm. You know,
A little warm outside.
Yeah, a little warm and humid.
Hey, Alabama's got a new P-51. I saw it the other day. I saw it out at Oshkosh. The Henley family brought it out.
Yeah,
I saw Alabama that. Rammer Jammer. Hadn't flown. It was an 18-year restoration. Mark said so. Look nice. His son Jonathan brought it in. So you're gonna have to build another Mustang now, Mike.
Oh man,
it's your decade project. You know, is a new Mustang. Yes.
Well, it's so funny. You know, I used to be able to turn these things out, but now it seems like it takes five to 7 years to get one done.
I'm just not quite sure why.
Yeah.
All right, what's coming up in the next few minutes here? I know you've got about a minute left. What's coming up?
We just got some events coming up. We got Sodbusters Fall Warbird Rally in Camden coming up August 26th, 27th. We got the Rally of Eagles at Hodges Field October 6th through the 9th in Andersonville, Georgia. You need to come to that one.
I'm ready.
And we've got the Dino DiGiorgio Senior Memorial Warbird Rally. Man, that's a mouthful. November 3rd through the 5th in Ball Ground, Georgia. And that's where our good friends Pedro and Rex, all those guys fly. So we're looking forward to going to that one. But we've got some other things coming up around the country. So be sure and check out RC Flight Deck. They have lots of listings of events in your area. And I guess that's it, man.
It's going to do it. All right, buddy.
We pretty much ate up the whole hour, didn't we?
You did. You ate it up. Even had no leftovers tonight.
Well, all right. Well, look, that wraps up another one, I guess. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back soon. You like that?
Soon. Soon.
With another great interview and more information of what's going on in the world of RC scale. And in the meantime, be sure and join us over on RCScaleBuilder.com for some of the best information in RC scale building. And thanks to my guest, Adam Martin, for coming on the show and talking about his company. And thanks for you guys listening in. And stay tuned for more awesome, awesome, awesome programming here on Warbird Radio.
And don't forget.
So I guess that's going to do it.
Yeah. Don't forget.
And don't forget to measure twice and cut once.
There we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night.